Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, today we're continuing our series called Ghost Stories. And I was so glad to have our special guest speaker, Jake and Dardar, with us last week. And I hope that you were blessed by his ministry. And if you weren't able to be with us, you can go on our website and catch up on last week's message or any part of our series to catch up on where we are. But we're continuing our Ghost Stories message today. And the whole idea and the concept of this story, this message series, is to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, however your preference may be, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Either way, you're right. Whether you refer to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, you're right. And the whole concept behind this, and where I believe God is leading us, is to understand the important role that He plays in our lives. And again, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not an it. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person who resides in our lives. And every believer, we have the Holy Spirit residing in our lives. So we need to refer to Him that way. We need to refer to Him and see the important role that He plays in our lives. And we see the importance of the Holy Spirit as Jesus was telling His disciples about this Holy Spirit coming to them. That He told them that the Holy Spirit is going to come. I'm going to leave you, but there is someone coming that is going to help you. That Jesus was preparing the disciples for what was to come. And He even goes on to say to anticipate His coming. I don't know about you, but there are certain things in life that I anticipate, that I look forward to, right? If it's a vacation that you're looking forward to, then you anticipate that coming. Like there's some people I see, they post online, if they're going on a cruise or something like that, they've got the cruise countdown timer, you know, like 34 days and single digits. And then I'm really jealous of them because then I see the countdown and go, you're on a cruise and I'm not. But there are some things in life that we anticipate, some things that we genuinely look forward to. And Jesus was telling the disciples to look forward to, anticipate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come because He is going to assist you in fulfilling the work that Jesus had started. That Jesus had begun a work and the disciples are working, but now you need the Holy Spirit to help continue on this work. That Jesus told them that it was time for Him to go back to heaven, but you will have a helper. To assure them that they're not going to be on their own. Imagine the disciples' thoughts. Imagine their emotions when that Jesus, their teacher, had been with them day in and day out. They had learned from Him. They had all of this knowledge and seen Him do all these wonderful things. And He says, oh, and now I've got to go. What do you mean? You were with us, and then you died, and then you came back to life. Ha ha, psych on you guys, you know. And now you're back with us, and now you're leaving again. Imagine the roller coaster of emotions that they went through. That Jesus had died. They had put Him in, they saw Him in the grave. He was on the cross. He died. He's in the grave. And now He's back. What an amazing thing. And now He says, I've got to go again. My gosh, Jesus, the roller coaster. Can't you just hang out with us? He says, no. It's better for you that I go because the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit is so much more than I think we realize His work in our lives. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the life that Jesus bought for us. The Holy Spirit allows us to live the lives that Jesus bought for us. Understand that Jesus died because we were dead in our sin. There was no way out, but Jesus bought us life by dying on the cross and rising again 3 days later. And now we have the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this life to the fullest. That it's one thing to just live, but it's something to live life to its fullest. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So this morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. If not, we've got it up on the screen for you in just a moment. I'm going to be spending some time in Romans chapter 8 this morning, bouncing around a little bit. I don't know about you, but Romans is just, especially Romans chapter 8, is just chock full of just Bible goodness. In my Bible, I have so many things highlighted, and I've gone through, this week as I was studying, preparing, I've got like 3 or 4 different Bibles, and every single Bible, I've got stuff marked up in Romans chapter 8 specifically. So Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That right there in and of itself is a message that I'll get to one point in time. But just understand how important that is. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sins are gone. All of that stuff that we try to bring up and all the stuff that we've done, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's another message. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. Oh, this is good. Come on. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free because the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, this verse right here, these verses are chock full of just wonderful Bible knowledge. But I want to take a look at the Spirit's role in our lives. We have new life because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have this new life that we can enter into and walk to because of what Jesus did on the cross. The law was not able, is not able to overcome sin. The law is not able to do anything but really point out sin. It cannot overcome, it cannot remove sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we throw out the law, that we get rid of the law. That's not what we're saying. The law is important to each and every one of us as believers, but the law ultimately cannot save us from our sins. God's aim in sending Jesus was that as believers, we might be enabled to embody the true and full intentions of the law. Through Jesus, we can now meet the requirements of the law because our sins have been paid for. What we were unable to do on our own, what we were able to fulfill in the law on our own because of our sin, Jesus has come, and now we are able to meet those requirements because of what Jesus did on the cross. That he lived a sinless life. That he gave the sacrifice for us. Now the requirement of the law has been fulfilled. So the Holy Spirit's role in our lives comes to us because of faith, and Jesus leads us to this fullness of life. And Paul is focusing on the Spirit's work inside of us. That we have this new life in Christ, that the law has been fulfilled. We couldn't fulfill it on our own, but now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and he can work inside of us. Without the Spirit inside of us, without the Spirit's work in us, there would be nothing but condemnation. But the Spirit brings life because essentially the Spirit is life. The law of sin is like gravity. The law of gravity, right? I mean, going back to elementary school, middle school, wherever we learned the law of gravity. I don't know anymore. But the law of gravity, what goes up must come down, right? The law of gravity, what comes up must come down. As we are here on planet Earth, the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. That's like sin. The law of sin, that it brings us down, it holds us down. The law of sin does not allow us to achieve the fullness of life. The law of the Spirit is like aerodynamics. Have you ever been amazed at these jumbo jetliners, these 747s that fly off and with hundreds of people inside of them and these little tubes flying through the air? How in the world is that possible? The law of aerodynamics. The law of aerodynamics says that you can go over, you can fight gravity for a short period of time, and that's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the law of aerodynamics. It allows us to overcome the law of sin that brings life. That the law of aerodynamics is the law of the Spirit's work in our lives to lift us up, to enable us to fly over victoriously over the flesh. The law of sin pulls us down. The law of aerodynamics says you can fly over that. The law of the Spirit allows us to fly over the flesh, to fly over the things that pull us down, the law of sin. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we no longer let the sinful nature hold prominence in our lives, but yield to the Holy Spirit to direct us and to empower us. Living by the Spirit means to walk in accordance to the Spirit. When we walk in submission, we find dependence on the Spirit. When we walk according to our flesh, We're living as our flesh dictates, and whatever our flesh wants, and that's what we do. That's what we want. That whatever my mind want, whatever my body want, that's what I do. That's living to the flesh. And it allows our sinful nature to take hold of our lives. But when we realize we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are not dictated to live by the flesh anymore. That we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives and we're no longer bound to that flesh. You know, something that I see interesting as we look through the early churches is how they were described, how they were signified. A lot of times people say, man, I just wish we were like the early church. I wish we could get back to that. And I'm right there. I would love to get back to who the early church was, the disciples, what they were all about. How many of you growing up have ever had a nickname? Raise your hand. Ever had a nickname? All right. Now, those of you, pretty much everybody, raise your hand. Did you get to choose that nickname or did somebody choose it for you? Most likely, somebody chose that for you. All right, there's one of my favorite shows that I love to watch. I've referenced it before. It's called The Office. If you've never watched it, well, Lord be with you. You'll get to heaven, but just barely. Anyway, so The Office is just this show that's been off the air for several years, but it's still a great show. Well, one of the main characters, his name is Jim, and the other character is Andy. Well, when Jim and Andy meet for the very first time, Jim comes into the office with lunch, and it's a tuna fish sandwich. So Andy calls Jim throughout the rest of the entire show, Tuna. That's his nickname, Tuna. Big Tuna, Little Tuna, whatever. He just saw the entire show, because the first day of work, the first day they met each other, he brought in a tuna fish sandwich. So that's his nickname, Tuna, throughout the entire show. There are some nicknames that we probably wish we didn't have. Growing up, my sisters gave me a nickname, and no, I'm not going to tell you what that nickname is. Nope. Because this nickname has pretty much died, okay? And I'm glad that the nickname died. But they gave it to me when I was in like elementary school, middle school age like that, and I've got two older sisters, and they gave me this nickname, and it just stuck. Throughout middle school and high school, I'm like, please stop calling me that. And now my youngest of the two older sisters, she'll call me that nickname every now and then. But for the most part, it's died, and I'm so glad that it's died, all right? It's just one of those nicknames that I just don't like it. So it's gone. And don't you dare ask what it is. Some nicknames are great. Some nicknames we just get. We do something silly, whatever. You just might come into work and bring a tuna fish sandwich, and your name is Tuna. The early church had a name. The early church had a name. The early church had a nickname. Some nicknames are great. Some nicknames are not so great. But the early church was known as this: people full of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit. When people would reference the early church, they would say, those people, they're full of the Holy Spirit. Not because they went to a Pentecostal church. Not because they were part of the Assemblies of God, but because they lived by the Spirit who dwelled inside of them. They got that nickname because of how they acted, how they lived their lives. And most nicknames, that's typically how it gets. We get our nicknames from how we do something, our appearance. The reason why they were called people full of the Spirit is because of their courage, their willingness to follow Christ regardless of the cost. And the effectiveness of their ministry. I had a pastor post on Facebook this week, and he was a little discouraged because their air conditioner went out. Praise God, we've got air conditioner this morning. But he was a little discouraged. I'm like, I have been there, brother. I know what it's like. But he said, you know, he's really discouraged because he didn't know if people were going to show up to church because the air conditioner wasn't going to be on. And this conversation ensued between other pastors and things like that. And these are things that happen throughout the week that sometimes we don't realize. Just coming to church, we don't realize there's a lot of stuff that goes on and things we have to take care of. And so he was, what should I do? Should I cancel church? Should I not? And I'm like, don't cancel church. It's going to be a little bit warm, but still come together and gather. Do you realize what the earth, they didn't have air conditioning. They weren't concerned about being comfortable when they gathered. They wanted to come because they gathered because Jesus said that's what you should do. I thank God we live in a time and an age where we have central air conditioning. It is wonderful. Thank you, God, for that blessing. But heaven forbid if we get a little bit uncomfortable in church. Well, I can't go to church because the air conditioner's not on. Oh, poor baby. But seriously, that's what they were known for. their effectiveness, their willingness to follow Christ regardless the cost. Not, well, I can't go to church today because there's no air conditioner. I might die because of my faith in Christ today. That is living by the Spirit. They were people full of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that was enabling them to have courage. It was the Holy Spirit that was enabling them to heal people. It was the Holy Spirit giving the courage to stand in the face of torture, public shaming, and even death. So it begs the question, how would people describe us? How would people looking on the outside describe us as a church? Or even on a personal level, how would people describe us? What nickname would they give us? Would they call us people full of the Spirit? And not because, well, you go to that AG church down the road, so yeah, you people are full of it. The AG church, Pentecostal church, we've been given terrible nicknames. Holy rollers, pew runners, aisle runners, whatever. They're not good nicknames. I don't like it. But really, what are we known for? If people were really to examine our lives, to examine who we are as a people, and even as individuals, how would they describe us? Would they call us people full of the Holy Spirit? Would it be because of our actions, because of what we did? I don't know about you, but I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Not so that I can boast, not that I can be proud, not that I can say, well, we're better than that church down the road. No, we're all the church. We are all the Big C Capital Church. We're all in this together. Our church isn't any better than anybody else, and I will never get up here and condemn any other church because they're doing what God is calling them to do, and God's going to call us what to do. We're all in this thing together. Sure, we have different theologies, but we're still chasing the same thing. But what do we want to be known as? What will people call us? Are we full of the Holy Spirit? Jump down to verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. I'm not? What an amazing thing that I'm not controlled by the sinful nature anymore. Well, if I'm not controlled by that, then what am I controlled by? But by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So let's break this down. If we're not living by the flesh anymore, meaning doing whatever we want, whatever our body desires, whatever we want, we're not living by that. That means we're living by the Spirit. That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, should be the one dictating what we are doing. But we have to yield and we have to submit to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of every single believer. He is our helper. Unfortunately, we do not tap into the Holy Spirit as much as we should. We try to do things on our own. We try to make things happen with our own two hands. But we have this amazing gift that God has given to us, and the enemy knows that. The enemy knows exactly how to push our buttons. Satan is going to try to find ways to keep us from experiencing all that God has for us, to put roadblocks, to say, no, you're in condemnation. Don't let that word of God, don't let what that pastor said, no, you're in condemnation for all the things that you've done. He's going to use everything he possibly can at his disposal to get us distracted from being all that God has called us to be, to experience all that God has us to be. Francis Chan, in his book Forgotten God, says this: if I were Satan, my ultimate goal was to be to thwart God's kingdom and purposes. One of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. Without him, the Holy Spirit, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not motivated by love or actions that are of human creation. But when believers live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. When we try to do things in our own strength, we're only going to achieve human-sized results. But when we lean into and we tap into the Holy Spirit's work, well, then that's when supernatural things happen. We can do so many things with our hands. There are so many things that we can do with our own hands. So, a hammer. All right, you can accomplish a lot with a hammer, right? You can get a lot of work done with this hammer, but it takes a lot of effort and energy to exert this hammer, right? If you've got a hammer in your hand, you know we're in for some work today. My dad's been in construction most of his life, and I have seen him use a hammer many, 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 many times. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of energy. But what if you had something like this to help you in your task? All right, so you have your choice of this hammer, or you've got something that can be plugged in and to help you do the job. What are you going to choose? We're going to choose this every day of the week, right? Yeah, this is great. Oh, but this is better. I can get a job done a whole lot faster and with a whole lot effort and a whole lot less effort and energy on my part. You're going to sweat if you're using this bad boy right here, right? This one, maybe a little bit. The difference between these two is you're exerting a lot of effort on your own. The job may get done, but man, it'll get a whole lot done. It'll get done a whole lot faster with one of these. We're going to choose this every single time. So why is it that we choose to operate in our flesh and not tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and only accomplish human-sized results? We can plug into the source of the Holy Spirit and accomplish supernatural things. Why do we choose to do that? Why do we choose to do things in our own strength and not tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a superior power to my own hands. Using that hammer, the Holy Spirit allows me to do so much more, to be more effective for the kingdom of God, but yet I tap into myself far too often, and I don't tap into the Holy Spirit. We don't have to try harder. We don't have to try better. We just need to learn to walk in submission and yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It means that we go throughout our days, we're mindful of the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? How do we yield to the Holy Spirit? How do I not? That means we're mindful of Him and His work in our lives on a daily basis. We're dead to the old things because we are a new creation in Christ. We have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. We don't have to be held down by the sins of our past, but live with the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us to know something is at greater work in our lives. And the early disciples, they knew this. They understood this power that they had received. And they allowed God to use them to accomplish great things. Think about what they did. There is no way these group of fishermen could advance the gospel the way they did without them yielding to the Holy Spirit. There is no way an uneducated group of men could have done what they did. It was only through the Holy Spirit, and they knew it, and they tapped into it. Jesus told them, guys, I would love to stay with you. I wish it would be great, but, this is Matthew's version of the Bible, okay? But it's better that I go because I can only be right here. Okay, how many of you have tried to be three different places at a time? It doesn't work, right? Well, I got to be here, I got to be here, I got to be here. Let me just split myself in three different ways. I would love for that to happen, but we can't. I can only be right here, right now. Jesus can only be right here, right now. But, hey, listen. The Holy Spirit, He can be with all of you all the time. It's better that I go. He will give you the power. He will give you the strength to do more than what you're able to do right now. Anticipate His coming. We need to understand this power that we have access into our lives. The enemy has tried and unfortunately succeeded and even caused people to draw away from God, because they didn't understand the access they had in their lives. The Holy Spirit is our source of power to do things that no human could do, and we need to tap into that. So how do we do that? How do we overcome ourselves? How do we do that? First and foremost, we're the ones that get in the way. We stand in the way. We're the one that gets in the way from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We get in our way far too often and give the enemy way too much credit. We give the devil far too much credit. Usually it's us. We're the ones that stand in the way. We're the ones that, well, no, I can't do that. Or, well, I'm just going to do it with my flesh. I'm not going to do it with the Spirit says. The devil's not making us do anything. We're the ones doing. We're making the choices, but we give him all the credit. He is not that powerful. We try to place blame on others, but ultimately we need to look at ourselves. We're the ones making bad decisions. We're the ones making bad choices. Kids are great at that. Placing blame. Go to any preschool class, any elementary school. If a kid gets in trouble, man, they're going to place blame on somebody else as fast as you possibly can. I mean, your head will spin. No, it wasn't my fault. They made me do it. No, they didn't. You chose to do it. You saw everybody else doing it, and so you joined in the crowd. They didn't make you do it. You did it on your own. We do the same thing. We try to place blame on everybody else, but ultimately it's our decision. We made that choice to follow God, to yield to the Spirit, or to go after our flesh. Paul goes on to say in verse 12 and 13 that we have an obligation, but this is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You see, we still have a sinful nature inside of us, even though we have Christ. We still have this sinful nature that we're fighting with. Wouldn't it be so much easier if God would just take away that sinful nature? When we come to Christ, boom, it's gone. The flesh, the desires, it's all gone. Man, wouldn't life just be so wonderful and so great? But it doesn't happen that way. We still have the flesh. Even though the Spirit dwells inside of us, we still have this flesh. We can experience life when we walk according to the Spirit. But we must continually and daily die to the flesh. It's an ongoing process. See, the present tense of the verb here is significant. It means it's stressing the importance of this process. It's an ongoing nature. It never stops. It's continual. That we have to die to the flesh. We have to seek the yielding of the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. I've had people ask me this question. Pastor, does it get easier? What do you mean, easier? Following God, following Jesus, does it get easier? That's a tough question to ask because everybody's walk and relationship with Christ is different. For some people, some things get easier, but some things become more of a challenge. For some people, when they come to a conversion with Christ, that the things that they used to want to do that were a passion of theirs, that's no longer there. But now there's something else in their lives. For when you're younger, it might have been lust, whatever that may be. But now as you get older, now it's greed. Or it's gossip and things change. So it's never this done process. There are things that our flesh is going to pull us different ways, but we have to realize that we have the Holy Spirit to help us overcome those things. That we don't have to do it by ourselves. We die to the flesh. It means spending time in God's Word. It means coming together. It means worshiping God. Limiting distractions. You know, I love one of the things that our students are going to be able to do in a couple weeks, and our middle school and high school students are going to go to camp for a week. I love going to camp as a kid. I'm like, oh, can we have, like, adult camp? Can we just not go to work? John, were you there? Like, we'll just quit, and we'll just not go to work for a week, and because this is what camp is. They go to camp for a week. They pack a bag, or two, or 20, if they're a girl, and you go to camp for a week. You wake up in the morning. They serve you breakfast, you go and have your devotions together, and then you play games most of the afternoon, and then you have more dinner, you have lunch, and then you have dinner, and then you have free time. Good Lord, what is free time? I don't know what that is. They have free time to do whatever they want, rec time, and then we're going to have dinner, and then, oh, by the way, now every night we're going to come together, we're going to worship God, and we're going to hear a powerful word of God, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do His thing all week long. Who's in? All right, let's go. We're going to start adult camp, all right? Kids, figure it out. An adult camp, here we come. Man, we got the buy-in. Let's go. Let's do this. We're going to charge $25, and it's going to be awesome. We got gold right here. Man, that's going to fund a new building right there. I can see it. Adult camp for kids. That's awesome. Yeah, we might have to make it 50. But the idea and the reason why kids come back, they come back on a spiritual high because everything has been blocked out. Every distraction, everything else, because they're pursuing God all week long. You wake up and the Word of God is there. You're hanging out with other believers. Most of them are other believers. You're spending time talking about the things of God, and then you're just saturating in worship and saturating in His Word. There's no way you can't come back but be, like, I've seen kids come back from camp, like, are you touching the ground yet? Like, they just come floating in here, and they just, man, Pastor, it's going to be great, and they just want to rock the church for God, and that's awesome, and it's so great, but it's because they've limited the distractions. and they spent time with God. You see, it's so easy to go to a conference or go to a camp and be saturated with God, but we can experience that daily. When you're at camp, you're like, man, the temptations weren't there at camp because you limited the distractions. You're not getting the text messages from the girls or the boyfriends or whatever they are. You're, all of that stuff is distracted, is limited. The temptations aren't there. They starve the flesh all week long but yield to the Spirit. You see, we need to do more of that. We need to starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. Yield the Spirit. We don't have to wait for a conference or revival or adult camp, which, hey, that might be coming. We have to starve our flesh and feed our spirits. So how do we do that? How do we be people full of the Spirit? It means limiting our distractions, limiting our temptations. It means unplugging from the wrong sources and plug into the Holy Spirit. Maybe it means that you limit the television that you watch. Maybe it means limiting the amount of Netflix that you watch for a couple days. Or maybe it means not getting on social media for a couple of days. Glory be to God. A couple weeks ago, we had a technical issue here at the church. The internet was just not functioning properly. And I had gone through a couple troubleshooting things, and nothing had happened. The power had turned on, turned off, and things were just all over the place. And I tried a couple things. So finally, I called the company and got, you know, customer service, technical support, and all that stuff, and ran through a couple other checks, and finally he's like, all right, go to the router and just unplug it. Really? That's the solution? Just go unplug it. Okay, so I go out there and plug it. Wait a few minutes. What do they say, like 30 seconds? So I'm sitting there waiting, plug it back in. Boom, everything runs like clockwork. Number one, how stupid do you feel when that happens? Like, really? I called, like, that was the last thing I did. I should have done that first. But yet, it reminded me that sometimes we need to reboot ourselves, that we need to unplug from whatever we're plugged into. Maybe we're plugged into the flesh. Maybe we're plugged into things that we don't need. And we need to plug into the right source, and that's the Holy Spirit. We need to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're connected to the wrong things, and we need to reconnect to the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the life Jesus bought for us. And we need to be known as people full of the Spirit again. And not just because of church that we attend or the name of the church we attend, but by how we live our lives. But the amazing news is we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to try and do this by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit to assist us in every single aspect of this. We've got the choice that we can either go it alone and try to do things in our own human hands. Yeah, the job may get done, but it's going to take a while. It's going to be a lot of hard work and effort. Or maybe we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and things happen in ways that we wouldn't imagine. Imagine the first person that invented one of these. And everybody else that's used it since then, this is the greatest thing. And we take things like this for granted now. Yeah, I can just go up to Lowe's and buy a nail gun or staple gun, whatever it may be, and life is a whole lot easier. But man, it's so much easier when we have something to help us along the way. And Jesus told the disciples, guys, you don't have to do this alone. The Holy Spirit's coming, and he's going to help you. He's going to assist you. He never promised them it was going to be easy. He never promised them that life was just going to be wonderful. But he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come and help you. And you're going to be able to do things that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. And they became known as people full of the Spirit because they tapped into that power. They plugged into that source. Maybe you haven't realized that the Holy Spirit is there, that you can really tap into that. Maybe you've been, man, I've been doing this all on my own. I want to stop doing this on my own, and I want to use this the Holy Spirit that's inside of me. Or maybe you just need a reboot. Maybe you just realize, man, I've just been plugged into the wrong source. I just need to unplug for a little while. I need to reboot the system. I need to reboot myself spiritually. I need to spend some time with God. I need to spend time limiting the distractions in my life, the temptations that are there. I just need to get rid of it all, and I need to focus on God. I need to get away for a couple of days. I need to go to adult camp, whatever that may be. I just need to get connected to you. I need to reboot myself. unplug and reconnect with God. Can we spend a few moments all across the room, if you would stand with me, and let us connect to the Holy Spirit this morning? That perhaps you've been doing things on your own power, that, yeah, the job has been getting done, but man, it'd be a whole lot better if you had some other tools, something else to help you along the way. And today say, God, I want to tap into you. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want to be full of you. I want to be refilled with you. Every single day, I want more of you, Holy Spirit, in my life. I want to connect to you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. I thank you that we can gather in this building and worship you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. Your wonderful presence here today. There's no way that you can walk in here and not feel the Holy Spirit here. We're so thankful for that. Help us to be known as people full of the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that we're doing things to boast on ourselves or we want to be better than anybody else. We just want to be a better version of ourselves, to achieve what you have called us to do, to seek your kingdom, to seek your righteousness, to make a difference in our communities and our worlds, not by our own hands, but by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. To stand strong, to stand firm, to be courageous. To be able to die to the flesh daily and yield in submission to the Holy Spirit. That we're not controlled by the flesh, but yielded to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to you for a moment. We don't have to have music going or anything like that. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe show you a way to reconnect. Maybe encourage you and challenge you. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. You're like, okay, I get it. I know exactly what I need to do. Holy Spirit, speak. To ourself and be full of you. Refill us with your presence. Refill us, Holy Spirit, overflowing, that when we come in contact with people, they know there's a difference. That we walk in your Spirit daily, that we connect with you daily, that we would die to ourself, die to our flesh, walk in submission to the Spirit, to fly victoriously over the flesh through the law of the Spirit. I want to encourage, I don't know, somebody here today, this has been an ongoing battle. Visualize it, picture it, that you are flying over your victories. You're flying over all the things that have held you down for so long. It's time to soar with the law of the Spirit, the law of aerodynamics, to soar over your past, to soar over all the things that have held you down. Hold on to that promise and visualize that you are no longer bound by the law of sin, but that you have freedom in the law of the Spirit. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you. As we go this morning, as we go today, may we be reminded, Holy Spirit, of your work in our lives, the power that we have access in our lives, that we would tap into more of you and less of us, and to be known as people full of the Spirit. Not because we may speak in tongues or not because of any spiritual giftings you have given to us, but because we understand the work that you have the work that you're doing in our lives, to be led by your Spirit. Go with us today that we may fly over all of our victories. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.